Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy y'all, Glenn McGeek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning for February 10th, 2011, episode 74, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, horse world.
Gotta go feed the horses, gotta give them hay. Gotta go feed the horses because it's a brand new day. Gotta go feed the horses, gotta feed them now. Gotta go feed the horses because horses need the chow. No time for coffee, can't take time for me. Gotta take care of the animals, so many mouths to feed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed, gotta go.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you guys out there in Lexington? In Kentucky, is it snowing?
No, it's actually beautiful sunshine, and everything is good.
Fantastic. Well, that's nice to hear. Yeah, it's actually going to be a beautiful day here as well. So hopefully we are going to be able to get out there and do some riding today.
Well, good. I'll tell you what, while you're thinking about riding today, there's something I've got to do. Yesterday, we did our daily Winnie, and we acknowledged somebody that calls in every day. And, you know, it turns out it's Aubrey. And, Aubrey, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to pick you up and take you off of hold right now. Are you there, Aubrey? Are you listening?
Yeah, hi, I'm listening.
Hey, I wanted to say, yesterday we give you the daily Winnie and then you're not there. What the heck?
I know, it was my day off and I sort of overslept.
Well, <that's>
you're allowed to.
You're allowed to do that on your day off.
Yeah.
Well, Aubrey, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it.
That was probably me.
Well, we really appreciate it. Do you listen while you're working? Or?
I do. I'm cleaning stalls.
Okay. Well, have fun with that, all right?
Yeah, we got snow on the ground here, so.
All right. Thanks, Aubrey.
Thanks.
You're just going to put her back on hold?
Oh, yeah.
Poor thing. She's never going to call back now.
But she posted
on her spot.
She posted on our Facebook page that she was the one we gave the daily Winnie to yesterday. So I thought, well, we're going to have to put her on today and catch her off guard. Promise we won't do that every day, Aubrey. We promise. We'll only do that to a certain woman out of Texas who refuses to talk to us again. So
yes, she shall remain
Jennifer,
nameless.
Right, exactly. What's on today's show?
On today's show, we feature Jamie going gaga for Lusitano horses, compliments of Peter Van Borst, followed by complimentary silly horse stories, leading into some amazing horsey headlines. Then Fran's Horseman's Almanac will be here to test some of your gray matter. And then Jamie and Glenn will once again regale you, the listening public, with more fantastic horse stories.
All right. Well,
Today, I wanted to just say that you put the cutest picture up yesterday of your little puppy, Boomer. That was the cutest picture you posted on your personal page yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Is that not the cutest puppy ever? And my husband is so much more in love with this puppy after seeing what he does when surrounded by a beer bottle. I mean... He absolutely attacked my husband for this beer bottle. And you'll see the pictures that you're going to post them on our Horses in the Morning page.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now, actually.
I was laughing so hard. I mean, it was just bizarre. Like, he's sitting there on his lap. I give him a beer. He picks up his beer. He's like, the dog just went nuts. So you can certainly see see how he reacted. And just I just happened to catch it right at the perfect moment. So he's got his paws wrapped around it. Yeah, look on our Facebook page on Horses in the Morning, and you will see it right now. But definitely an exciting day of the puppies. And I might be just exhausted enough to be a little bit irritated with them, but this morning has been a little bit rough, but they're doing good.
You know, it's the Thursday thing. I was thinking about that as I was preparing for the show today. I was thinking Thursday is that day of the week that just, it's like it shouldn't even exist. Because, you know, Wednesday, you're kind of excited because it's like turning the corner and everything. Thursday's just the day to get to Friday. You know, it's just that transition day that...
You're right. And how many times have you woken up and gone, oh, my God, it's Friday. Yay. Wait. Oh, it's only Thursday.
I know.
It's like Wednesday gets you through. It's like Tuesday and Thursday just stink altogether.
But it's even worse if you have something that you really want to do over the weekend, you know? Then it's even kind of worse. So... You know, that just makes Thursday, it's like, oh, Thursday will never end. At least when you get to Friday, it's closer, so it seems like you're going to get there.
Yeah, Friday is great.
Speaking of which, do you have anything big this weekend?
It's funny you should ask, actually, because I kind of decided to do something a little bit wild this weekend.
Oh, is it hot girl yoga time?
No. Oh. That's potentially next Monday. I've been putting it off, but that will happen. But this weekend, actually, my sweaty yoga friend that's trying to get me to go, and another one or two, possibly three girlfriends, are loading up the truck and trailer and driving to a farm in Clovis, California. We're taking an empty trailer to a farm in Clovis, California, and we are going to do some serious horse shopping. I have a couple friends that are in the market for a new horse, and we found a farm that has just a bunch of them that we have found ourselves interested in. So we are taking a road trip to go horse shopping.
Now, are you bringing... Or is Chad sitting on that for you? I don't know if we lost Jamie or what the story is there. So we'll continue here. There were a couple of stories that I saw. I think actually Jamie dropped off and she should be back. Are you still there, Jennifer?
I'm still here, and I think that... we need to find out how many horses fit in that trailer versus how many shoppers are going. We need to get the right ratio.
Oh, that's true. That is true. And, you know, yeah, and also I got to give Chad a call and, you know, I got to give Chad a call and see if he, you know, realizes the potential danger of having her do this. You know, because there is a danger anytime a bunch of women go horse shopping together.
Okay, I lost you there for a second. My internet connection went down. Tell me again what you were just talking about, because I logged back in and you're talking about me.
Well, we were just discussing the fact that we should probably give Chad a call and make sure that he understands that there is a danger anytime horse women gather as a pod and go shopping for horses. It's always, you're always shopping for the other one. It's for her, not for me. It's not for me at all. No, it's never for you.
Yeah. See, listen, Glenn, here, I don't need you calling nobody, okay? I will be loading up, we are taking a 4-horse trailer. It's a 9.5-hour drive. We're driving all the way there tomorrow after the show and coming back on Sunday. So don't call him, don't talk to him, and we'll just see how many slots in the trailer are filled on the way home. I'm not making any promises.
Do you even have room for any more horses at that bungalow of yours?
I do. I have room for one. So
let me see. Let's see. Chat. Can you just take the show here for a minute? I'm going to go on hold. I'm going to dial Chad right now.
He's sleeping right now. Leave him alone. He's sleeping.
Oh,
he's
sleeping right now. Yeah, sleeping right now.
He is sleeping right now. So just mind your own business. I'm not saying I'm buying
anything.
And
you're going
to
do this. You know what makes this worse? Is you're going to do this right before Valentine's Day, when you know he has to be all suckery and squishy. So you're going to get home on Sunday with a horse in the trailer because you promised him you're going to look for the other girl. And you're going to get horses going to be, and you're going to unload the horse, and he's going to go, oh, what's that? Is that so-and-so's horse? And you're going to go, no, dear. And he can only be mad for one night then, because then it's Valentine's Day, and we're not allowed to be mad at you at Valentine's Day. You've got this all planned out.
Well, see, Glenn, I like that you give me that much credit, but I need more credit, because here's what I've decided is that, you know, it's Valentine's Day, honey. Happy Valentine's Day! I got you a horse! I mean, come on. That's brilliant.
You know, we talked about the other day, what men want. That's really not on the list, but if you do use that ploy, there better be a whole lot of the other thing coming his way, too. That's all I'm saying. Just saying.
Yeah, it'll be an adventure, and I will keep everybody posted via Facebook of our adventures in horse shopping. We are heading out tomorrow after the show with a four-horse trailer and four women, potentially five women. So it should be good.
At least one of you will not be coming home with a horse. We know that if there's five, one of them's safe.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah?
Let me remind you, the last time you went horse shopping, you bought two for yourself.
Do tell, Jen. Do tell.
Yeah, so don't let it go. Listeners out there, don't let Glenn fool you. He's got the bug, too.
What
all right,
you
now we have
us
to go. Now, on that note, I think we should go to our caller. So we have my brother, Wayne, on the line, who is also the sponsor of today's show, EasySignsOnline.com. And we are going to do something fun today. Howdy, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hello, boys and girls. How are you today?
We're good.
Hi.
We're good.
Greetings from overcast, rainy, drizzly Ocala.
Yeah, nobody's going
to
feel sorry for you, Wayne.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
Wayne sent us a picture the other day of his front pasture. He has the horse in the pasture and everything are right in front of the house, and it's lush green grass, just lush green grass. And then he sent us a picture of the flowers that are blooming on his property.
Oh, I saw that. Unbelievable.
You don't have lush green grass in Arizona yet, Jamie?
Sure. I mean, it sprouts all over the place here in the desert. I mean, with all the rain we get, the grass is just so tall. It's awesome.
We got lovely shades of brown.
Yeah.
We have something fun we're going to do today with our listeners. And we're going to be doing a giveaway. Do you want to explain it, Wayne, or do you want me to?
Yeah. We've made thousands of farm signs over the years for horse farms. That's basically how we started many years ago, with doing nothing exclusively but horse farm signs. And we get these orders all the time, and a lot of them have very unique names, and a lot of them have just regular names. But you wonder what the story is behind the name of the farm. For instance, when we did Jamie's sign last month, Flyover Farm, and she has a story behind it because the husband's the pilot, and she likes to fly over jumps on her horse, and it's pretty cool to see how people name their signs, or name their farm, their farm name on the sign. So what we want to do is offer a $100 gift certificate, and all you have to do is go to the Horses in the Morning Facebook page and simply put in your farm name and a little story about how you came about the name for your farm. And all we're going to do is just pick one at random. You just must do it today, however. We're going to pick one at random first thing in the morning tomorrow. So we'll look at all the entries today on the Facebook page.
That's great. I think that's fun. And, you know, it is true. We all have names. I remember when Jennifer and I started Lights Point Stable, we had our acting company then when we did Medieval Feast. And we sat around. I remember sitting around for an hour or two trying to figure out what name we were going to use. And we kept going. We wrote them all down, and we kept going over probably 100 different options. And then we ended up with Knights Point Stables, which we thought was pretty cool. We had a knight on it and all that stuff. And I know, Jamie, your flyover farm had a, really a double meaning for you because of your husband and you.
Well, we named it that, like Wayne said, because we're actually kind of in the runway pattern for Luke Air Force Base where my husband flies. So he actually flies over the farm all the time, and he'll look down, and he says that he'll know if I'm ever, you know, holding court with another guy because he'll see the car in the driveway. That's how close he gets to flying over the farm. And so, yeah, we call it a flyover farm because he flies over, and, you know, I like to jump. So it was a perfect mix. And, Wayne, you just did such a fantastic job with the farm sign. We love it. I got to tell you, I bought flower boxes yesterday to put flowers around the bottom of the sign. I'm so excited.
Cool. Sounds
that'll
good.
Be the only thing green.
I've got to water it a lot.
And Wayne, what's the name of your farm down there in Florida?
Southern Moon Farm.
And you
and
got that name
that?
Because?
Because the wife picked it, and I have no idea where it came from. So I guess I should ask her what the story is behind that one, huh?
Yeah.
She likes the moon. And we have a picture of the moon on the farm. It's actually a very, very cool-looking sign, but... I'll have to ask her today exactly where that story came from. She makes those decisions in the house here.
Well, that's okay. The deal is we want to hear how you guys named your farm, and then you will be the winner of the gift certificate. So let us know on your Facebook page, on our Facebook page, just how you got your farm the name. And, you know, we're going to pick a winner. And the winner gets what is the prize, Glenn?
It's a $100 gift certificate for anything on EasySignsOnline.com. And, Wayne, that includes little farm signs, little stall plates, banners, the whole thing, right?
You get to pick whatever you want, yes.
And that can also include car magnets for your car, so you can put your farm name on your car and get car magnets. Have you gotten magnets for your truck yet, Jamie?
No, I haven't done that yet. But that's a great idea, yeah. Actually. That'd be really cool to have your farm name magnet on your side of your pickup truck. Awesome! That's my next purchase.
So when you go horse shopping all the way to California for the other girl, you could be advertising your farm name the whole time.
I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn.
Thank you, Wayne.
I don't
we
want
appreciate
anybody
it.
To know it's me.
We appreciate it,
okay,
Wayne.
We'll see
Thank you again. And a $100 gift certificate, just post your farm name in a one paragraph and how you came about that. We'd love to know what your farm names are. We had another one, too, that our first farm, actually, we called it Indigo Run Farm, and that was because the indigo bunting bird was prevalent at that farm. So that's how it got its name. So everybody kind of has those little things about why the name came about.
I won the divorce case farm.
What was that?
You could have I won the divorce case farm.
I won the divorce case. I know people that have, I'm sure there's stories out there where people have done things like that, for sure.
If you want to be completely honest and not very creative.
Well, we didn't do our daily win yet, I don't think. So here's today's daily win. And today's Daily Winnie goes out to Samantha Tenley from Horsepedia.com. We had her on the show a couple of weeks ago. Well, Samantha, I've been following on Facebook and has gotten a terrific new job. She'll be moving from San Diego to Los Angeles here soon. And good luck to Samantha. Let's give her a little cheer. Anytime somebody gets a terrific new job in the horse world today, you should cheer for sure.
For sure.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody getting a job, you should cheer, but especially somebody who gets to work in the horse world doing that. So fantastic.
That's great. All right, what else is going on, Jamie?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm kind of excited about, you know, I wasn't excited enough about Rolex coming up the last weekend in April this month or this year. They've added to Rolex this year. And what's cool is a reigning event is going to be held during the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. Now, the cool thing is it's going to be after the you won't have to choose like which discipline over the other you want to enjoy, because the reigning events have been integrated into the entire Rolex schedule. And I mean, they're going to be afterwards, kind of during, between breaks. So it's pretty exciting that they're going to have a reigning competition, the Kentucky Reigning Cup, offering $25,000 in prize money, which is the richest freestyle reigning purse in the world. So everybody who's anybody in the reigning world is going to be at Rolex this year. So it just adds to the awesomeness of Rolex.
Yeah, they're putting up some big money, and they got some good sponsors for that. It's going to be fun because they're doing it in the evening. Friday night's going to be at 6 o'clock, and that'll be the regular reigning event, the championship. And then on Saturday night, they're doing it at 5:30, so they're really coordinating it with the end of Rolex each day, so you can basically just walk down from this one stadium to the new indoor and watch the reigning. It's really cool. It was very smart of them to do it the way they did it, because if they had done it at 8 o'clock at night, then people would have left the ground and could probably not come back. Here they can just walk from one to the other, and the prices are reasonable. It's like $10, I think, for Friday night and $20 for the next night. And the cool thing about the next night is, if you've never seen freestyle reining, it is the, you think that freestyle dressage is fun, there and nothing on the reiners. They're hopping off the horses and on the horses. Freestyle reining is a blast to see.
Really?
Have you ever seen
I've
it?
Never seen.
Oh, it is.
No, I've never seen
oh,
that.
Great.
All I've seen is them do the pattern where they, you know, do the flying lead change, canter, canter, sliding stop, back up, sliding stop, you know, spin.
Oh, no, this is freestyle reining. They do some of that. I think there's a couple of mandatory moves they have to do, but it's to music just like any freestyle. But, of course, they have the big country music going, and, it's rocking the place. And they're doing trick moves where they're hopping, off the saddle, back on the saddle. They just do all kinds of really cool stuff. It is, and of course, like reining, unlike any other of the equestrian sports, you're allowed to cheer and clap and hoot and holler the whole time. So that's what makes, it's going to be fun to go from dressage up at the stadium for Rolex, being all quiet and serious, and then go down and just scream and yell at reining. That's going to be fun.
I am excited about that, and I also think it's really cool that, after cross country day, everybody, the last ride goes, and then everybody leaves. They spend some time in the trade fair, but everybody leaves, and then you're stuck in traffic forever because they make everybody park in the campground. So you're stuck in traffic forever, and then here you go, you don't have to get in the traffic. You can just go watch the reining. And now that you've – I didn't even know they had freestyle reining. That's how new I am to the whole reining concept. But that sounds awesome. I want to go watch.
I know. We're going to have to do that one night. Of course, we're going to be there. We'll be there covering Rolex. So we'll have to take a walk down one night and go hoop and holler for reining as well. That'll be a lot of fun. I think some of our favorites that have been on the show with us will be there. Florida and a couple of the others that we've had on the show should be there.
I think so. And I think that, Chris is going to be doing her eventing radio show every night live from Rolex. And it's going to be kind of after that kicks in. After the show is over for the evening. So what we should do is just start bringing her guests to talk about reigning. And try to throw her for a loop. And
I was going to say, our morning show, we could certainly have some reiners on there. So we'll be in charge of covering reining. Let's not give it to Chris. Let's take it ourselves. I like it.
I just thought it would be fun to see her have to interview a cowboy because she loves the Western show so much.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I think you're right about that. Absolutely.
Well,
and, of course, you've got – the other day we didn't get a chance because of technical difficulties to get the people on from the show that's going on down the road from you here in the next couple of weeks, and that's the Scottsdale Arabian Horse Show. We're going to try and get them back on if we can. But it's their 56th birthday there in Scottsdale, Arizona, about an hour from Jamie. And they draw – this is a huge show. They draw hundreds of thousands of visitors there every year, and it attracts more than 22 of the world's finest Arabian and half-Arabian horses. And they can see all kinds of 2,200 horses there. And get this, there's $1 million in prize money over the 640 classes. So
I'm going to tell you, living out here, Glenn, the one, I'm not kidding, the one equestrian sport that has not been affected by the economy is the Arabian world. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they got oil money coming in. I mean, I know people here that sell horses overseas, you know, to Jordan and all that. They've got this money, and they did not really get affected by the economy at all. They're still doing breeding out here. They're still selling. They're still showing. So this is going to be a really big deal.
It is.
Excuse me, but
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a huge deal every year, especially. But, I mean, even non-horse people come to the Arabian Horse Show. It's just something everybody does, and there's some awesome shopping, even if you're not, you know, seriously into the Arabian classes or anything like that. There's, like, international food courts and seminars and demonstrations and, of course, the Arabian people decorate their stabling like it would put 100 jumpers to shame.
They channel their inner, their inner, what's the decorator lady, Martha Stewart.
Yes, they do.
You know, I was surfing around their
yeah.
website yesterday, and I went to the class list. And I'm amazed they have, and who'd have thunk, they have reining, they have show jumpers for Arabians. I didn't know they had show jumpers. They have every imaginable Western thing, and the trail, and the reining, and the cow horse. So there's all kinds of really amazing performance classes that a lot of the smaller Arabian shows don't have. That right there would get me to hop in the truck and go up and see it, because I think that would be really cool.
Oh, yeah, they do everything here. I mentioned this the other day. I just think it's funny that non-horse people go to the Arabian Horse Show, and they must think that all horse shows are like this. Like, oh, we're going to a horse show this weekend. Oh, great. What costume are you wearing? No. Because those costume classes are so extravagant. These ladies dressed up like genies in a bottle, and they're galloping around. And I just wonder if everybody thinks all horse shows do that. We all have costumes on every time we ride a horse.
Well, you know, we
now, be
try
honest.
That in dressage, costume
be
dressage.
Honest, Jamie. Be honest, Jamie. You really want to dress up like a genie in a bottle. You know you do.
What my husband and I do in our private time, Glenn, is none of your business.
Well, let me say, you bring a home horse on Sunday, you better get that genie costume out. That's all I got to say.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not bringing a horse. My friend Joanna, maybe. and Jamie. And me. We'll see what happens. I'm not making any
promises. All right. One other story here before we get to our first guest of the day. And, of course, I think Jamie's really looking forward to that. She is a lover of Lusitano horses, and we're going to be talking about Lusitanos with Peter Von Borst, who I guarantee is probably going to have one of those accents you were looking for yesterday. And then we have Fran Yerger coming up, and we have our song of the day and all that stuff. But I wanted to mention that there's something going on that I had no idea. And there was a story out of Texas, Decatur, Texas, and I caught it on an alert this morning. Did you know that people breaking into your farm and cutting you off your horse's manes and tails is becoming a thing?
What?
Yes.
No way.
Apparently, yeah. I had a little clip from the WFAA out of Dallas, their story on it. Apparently now because of slaughterhouses and things closing up, manes and tails are used for a number of things around the world, and it's getting harder to get, so people are actually coming onto properties and just cutting off the horses' manes and tails, and then they're selling it. And here's a little clip from the story from WSAA in Dallas.
Sue started calling around. And discovered the same thing happened to seven other horses in the Decatur and Lloyd area within the last 2 months.
I came up here and all I saw was her tail cut.
The horse hair is valuable.
There is a big market for horse hair abroad. It sells for up to $350 a pound.
The hair is used to make everything from jewelry to pottery to brushes. Slaughterhouses have closed, making the hair harder to get.
Isn't that something?
Oh, there's so many things wrong with that. First of all, they're announcing to people how much the hair is worth. So now I think people are going to take it even more because they're like, really? I can get that much?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
heck,
okay. Let's back up on that a little bit. How much hair does it take to get a pound? It's got to take a lot of hair to get a pound. Hair weighs nothing, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, I would say that if you, they're not cutting off the tails, right? They're just shaving the tails, basically.
They're not like with a hacksaw, no.
Okay.
But one of the pictures they showed in the video was, you know, where the nubby is on the tail? They had pretty much cut the hair off. You could see the nubby sticking out.
Horrible.
Yeah, so all that was left were nubbies. And they must go in and have a, you know, they have a way to do it quick. They must get in and out quickly. And the one they were showing in the video was a little mini. And they actually had come onto that property twice and cut the mini's hair off. Twice.
That's not fair.
So,
mini's hair does grow pretty fast, though.
You have to worry about your horses getting stolen. You have to worry about them stepping on rocks and freaking out because you think they broke their leg when they just have an abscess. You have to worry about all of these things with your horses, and now you have to worry about these masks. And I wonder if they wear, like, ninja outfits, and they come in the night, and they cut the horse's hair off. It's just bizarre.
I don't know. But there are some horses that have more hair than others. Like a Lusitano would probably provide 6 pounds of hair, or a Frisian would also provide a lot of hair. But yeah, you'd have to sneak up on them, and I guess you'd have to be somewhat of a horse person to do it, because who wants
That's
to?
That's what I was thinking, to not get the crap kicked out of you.
Yeah, I mean, who walks up behind a horse and just clips the tail hair off?
I know. And then, you know, if our friend Tony, who got his horse for Christmas from his girlfriend, and he was happy about it. So, but he has a Belgian and has the most beautiful mane and tail. We're not going to say where they live. Has the most beautiful mane and tail you've ever seen. It's long, it's very thick, and it's almost white. It's almost that iridescent white that Belgians get sometimes. It's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that if they could get a hold of that hair, that would be one they would want. But this Belgian's kind of skittish, so I doubt they'd even catch it.
Is this the Belgian Darcy got for her boyfriend?
Yes. Yes. And I think you've seen pictures of it. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Hey, I wanted to also say Samantha has posted on the first one to post on Facebook about the farm sign. She says, that one is easy. Red Horse Stables. We live in Georgia with all the lovely red clay. Turns every horse chestnut. Thankfully, I have a colored horses, so I don't stress too much. But my friend has two grays. So there it is. Red Horse Stables was the first entry there. And I noticed that you posted a picture of your farm sign. And that, by the way, Robert Dunn said on there, that photo should be framed. He's right. That's an absolutely beautiful picture of your farm sign with the unbelievable sky in the background.
Thank you. That that's my Valentine's Day present. Is that camera? I finally got like a big girl camera, and I'm so excited about it. So I was snapping photos, and I had a great sunset the other night. But yeah, if you look at pictures of my puppies, you'll see the puppy with the Canon neck strap in her mouth as she's hanging from it, and I'm looking down at her taking pictures. So yeah, we definitely have gotten some use out of the Canon, and that, like I said, it's my Valentine's Day present. It's awesome.
Well, it's beautiful. That is a beautiful picture. You did a good job with there. And I noticed also Wayne posted a picture of his. And by the way, you're welcome to post a picture of your farm sign as well if you want to. And, you know, if you have time or you have a picture laying around, just post that as well. And of course, that's to win the $100 gift certificate from Easy Signs Online. Anybody that posts today will have a chance of winning. We're going to pick one winner at random. On today, and we'll announce it on tomorrow morning show. So we'll have Jamie just close her eyes, scroll them down the page, and point. And that's
I didn't think that sounds awesome. That'd be a great contest. That's, but, yeah, I love that picture.
Hey, you know what we're hoping to do this weekend? And I think we're just a couple minutes away from our first guest, is we're hoping to head over to Louisville. Because the MSEDA, the Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association, is having its annual meeting. And guess who is speaking there?
Who?
Daniel Stewart, our resident psychologist and psychiatrist and sports expert that we get on the show every month. He's going to be their he's going to be their keynote speaker. So I wrote to them and said, do they mind if we come over? And they were very gracious and said, no, come on over, and we're going to head over there tomorrow morning. We really want to see Daniel do his keynote speech. So we're going to do that, Saturday morning. So, see, I'm thinking it's Friday, too. This darn Thursday thing, I think we should just eliminate it.
I think we should just eliminate tomorrow's show because we clearly think it's Friday today. I don't know why.
Because you want to get going shopping sooner.
I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn. I'm not shopping. I'm shopping for a friend.
All right. Well, our guest is queued up here if you want to introduce him.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him today because I am an absolute lover of Spanish horses. And, you know, there's nothing more beautiful than a Lusitano or an Andalusian doing high school movements. And, you know, it's just breathtaking. And I'd like to welcome Peter Van Borst, who actually trains them and does that riding and is just a pioneer for the breed of Lusitano. So good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, he has the accent. I've been so excited to talk to you. The accent and talking about the Lusitanos. So we're doing fantastic. I guess, you know, kind of give us a Reader's Digest history on the Lusitano, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your Lusitanos.
Well, you know, essentially the Lusitano, it's classified as like an Iberian horse, you know, from the Iberian Peninsula. It's a very ancient breed that probably was one of the first horses used in mounted warfare, and has influenced the majority of Europe in its use of classical equitation, which again came from the exercises in warfare and then continued up into classical equitation, and was the forerunner of the dressage horse, so to speak. And it has been reserved for very special disciplines.
So, you know, my thought is you get these horses trained to the complete top of their level, and then you throw, you know, where they can do a levade, and they can do a capriole, and they can do all these movements, and then you send them off to war. So I've had to think that people started getting a little smarter, like, we should maybe hang on to these horses after all the work we've done. Is that, did that ever happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the essential, I mean, it was a weapon also in those situations, you know, those kind of things in a battle. I mean, you know, it didn't matter what culture, whether they were Mongols or the Iberian Celtic warriors or the Romans, it was an extension of, you know, in a situation. But fortunately, it wasn't necessary for them anymore. So, you know, they maintained this because of the breeding of their abilities. They maintained the culture of training, of higher levels of movement than most of other breeds.
They're just absolutely gorgeous horses. Now, this may sound like a dumb question, but they're so similar. What is the difference between Andalusians and Lusitanos?
Well, essentially, you know, the Andalusians and Lusitanos is it's a name that's essentially given over here. The Spanish horse is a PRA, Pura Raza Espanol, and the other one is a PSL, Pura Sangre Lusitano. One Lusitano is from Portugal, and the Spanish, the Andalusian, is from Spain, and it's essentially their national horse. When the two countries divided, you know, became two separate countries, they started to look for their own different criteria. And if you ever go to Spain or Portugal, you'll see that both breeds kind of follow the characteristics of the people and their requirements. And you'll see it, and it's subtle differences. And in some aspects of the horses, I probably won't go any further because it's not diplomatic, but you'll find that the Lusitano sometimes has different attributes to the Spanish horse. And it's a kind of a joke, but they're very proud of the two horses. You know, they established their stud books and followed their own bloodlines separately. I wouldn't say that originally from the core of bloodlines that they didn't derive from the same outlet, you know. But they have now, they have taken them into different directions.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they do look so similar. I'm interested to hear how you said they represent their people and their cultures, and that's how they're extremely different. Now, how so? How are the Lusitanos representing the people in Portugal?
You know, this is where you have to be very careful. Well, you know, the Lusitanos, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the Lusitano that I've seen, and I've trained both breeds, you know, the Lusitano is a bit more serious, a little bit more a little more conservative in itself. It's very, it takes its work seriously, and it, in its nature, the Spanish horse tends to be flamboyant and sometimes gets a little bit, you know, flowery and airy above the ground. Both things are very nice if you like, you know, depending on your preference, you know. You'll see I'm working for the United Nations. I'm not going to say that. For me as a horse trainer, I think the Lusitano is a more serious horse. Horse in its work. Now, I'm not saying that the Andalusians aren't, but, having had a lot of different Lusitanos and Andalusians, I would say the percentage of Lusitanos are more, in their demeanor and their appearance, a more serious horse in that regard.
Well, don't worry. We offend people on a daily basis, so you're not going to be the one, you know, to hurt anybody's feelings.
Like Portugal is better than Spain. In my preference, it's like whether you like Portuguese food, or you like Spanish food or Spanish wine or Portuguese wine. And it's a personal taste, and that is my personal taste. So
I love it. Well, you have a pretty huge place. Are you still in Aiken?
No, I've moved down for the winter to Florida because of the competition season, because, you know, the Lusitanos are starting to become quite prolific down here. And we have come to also for the collection. We have our collection at the end of the month where we bring a select group of horses up to our select sale of the Lusitano collection. So it necessitates me to be here for about 4 or 5 months. Plus, it's much nicer weather. And then in the summer, we go up to Aiken, you know, to continue training young horses. And then probably, you know, depending on the winters, we return here in December, beginning of December through March.
Now, Glenn is going to post your website on our page right now so people can go look. You have a collection of some of the most beautiful stallions. Tell us a little bit about them. Ugh.
Well, the collection the collection is a dream or a composition of horses that has been formulated by Mr. Gonzaga and his daughter, Inter Agro Lusitanos, because we had, you know, so many people that were coming down to Brazil, which is the main farm, which we have about 700 to 800 Lusitanos, looking for horses and selecting horses. And we found that there was people that, you know, some people don't like to travel, and they are looking for different kinds of horses. So due to that fact, we decided, and we were also selling from the farm a lot of horses that were on the competitive kind of direction. You know, they started to looking for horses that were more suited for the conformation and the movement in competitive dressage and so forth. So we decided to start to select young stallions, or young horses to come up here and begin them and down in the farm and have them very nicely started. And the selection process we started was at 1-year-old, 2-year-old, and 3-year-old. So all of those horses were reevaluated every year for the attributes that were necessary for here. And so people could come here, and then, of course, they didn't have the problems of exportation from Brazil, quarantine, brokers, you know, all of the things that sometimes become a hugely confusing thing for people. So their horses arrive here with all of that done. They go to the collection. People have 2 weeks to preview the horses, to try the horses. And on the evening of the 26th of February, they have an opportunity to buy these horses, and essentially if they buy them, they put them in the trailer and drive home with them. So it's become a very, very, very popular thing.
I would like to just say that if you have the opportunity to put Legendario do Mirante on my trailer, he's coming home with me.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, Legendario, there is no trailer for him, because Legendario stays. He's an emperor of Inter Agro. He's responsible for so much that those horses, they stay, they retire there. But their sons and their offspring, they have made a huge headway into the world and driving and jumping and dressage. And of course, after all of these competition comments, you have to say, the person that just wants to ride a very nice horse and do no competitions whatsoever, which are also a large part of our clientele.
Okay. Jennifer, do you have a question?
Oops, sorry. I forgot to hit my mute button. That's very interesting that you have a lot of clients who are interested in Lusitanos, not necessarily in a competitive venue. But it's kind of a really interesting service that you guys have created for the marketplace, because you're right, there are so many people who might discount looking at a quality bred horse from another country because of the complications of import. And that also gives people the security and the comfort of knowing that the horses have been brought in properly, because every once in a while you hear those horror stories about someone going through an agent to get a horse imported, and the agent doesn't do it right, and things go awry in a big hurry, where somebody can work with you guys, and you look, you have amazing transparency in the selection process and the training that the horses have had, and that's a big comfort for somebody who's looking at a horse that was bred in a foreign country.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can buy a horse there and not know what you're doing and use an agent and find he's stuck in Lima, Peru with a load of roses on its way to Miami and sit there for 2 days. You know,
yes, or worse, exactly. Yeah. So this
it's an intricate process because we've used the same importation people in the same services for 27 years. And I mean, we know each other so well that from the beginning to the end, it's almost like, you know, this is one phone call here, one phone call there, and the paperwork in between them, and it's done. And because we know each other so well, everybody, so, you know, and the people, is funny, the non-competitive people are more worried about this, because they are people, I think they're the core of our clients, the non-competitive people. They're buying a horse for it's like their ultimate horse. They finally decided they want to buy this horse, and they want this is the structure all this, and they become very intent on this whole thing working very well. The competitive people are more used to it, but you know, the person that is coming into this to get their ultimate, so-called ultimate horse, is very worrying for them. You know, so it's a nice thing to be able to take that pressure off of them. Although halfway through, they sometimes still don't believe us until the horse arrives quite safely. You know, so it's an interesting process.
So these horses that are being sold at this auction, and you can go to LusitanoCollection.com to see where do all these guys come from? Are these all bred and raised at your farm, or do you guys import them and bring them in?
No. All these horses are bred, born, raised, and started and trained at Interabra. They have never been offered for sale before to anybody. They are selected so the only for this sale, and the person that buys them will be the first owner of this horse other than Interagro.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So they've been in your hands up until you're ready to let them go. One last question before we have to wrap this up. What is the average price for a Lusitano at this sale?
Well, okay. For example, last year the average came out at $41,000. The highest price horse was $145,000, and the lowest price horse was $20,000. So, if you take that out, you have a spread that kind of it can go from 20 to 35 to 25 to 75. You know, there's a spread that basically it caters to most people's pockets. So when you consider that a significant amount of that money is also for the importation and transportation, which if you bought it in Brazil, you'd have to pay anyway.
Yeah, no, I would think that would be about what they would go for, especially with the training and being in your hands. So, listen, thank you so much for being a part of the show. I'd love to catch up with you after the sale and kind of find out how everybody did and how everybody fared and who was offered. So we will definitely keep in touch with you.
It would be a pleasure to talk with you.
Pleasure talking to you, too. Peter von Borst from the Interago, and you can find his website on our Facebook page right now. It's too much to spell. Or you can just go to the other website, which is LusitanoCollection.com. Thanks, Peter.
All right. That was fun. You know, I could tell you were in heaven. You were just probably drooling there. Do you have a drool cup in front of you?
Oh, my gosh. These horses are just like Disney horses. I mean, you couldn't even draw these things. They're so perfect looking. Check out the Lusitano collection, Glenn, and look at the horses that auctioned off in 2010. I mean, you can come and test ride these. There's mares, there's stallions, anything you could possibly want. And any color, they come in chestnuts and grays and buckskins and bays. I mean, just all of them. Oh, they're fantastic.
And I love the picture on his website, which I did post on Facebook. I love the picture on his website when you go to the driving section of the six in hand team he has there of grays. It's just unbelievable. They're stunning horses when you see them pulling a black carriage like that. It's just stunning. Well, today, the song of the day, and that is sponsored by FeedXL. FeedXL does the smart stuff that it takes to formulate a balance. And balance a horse's diet. You know, none of us are ever quite sure if we're feeding our horse correctly or if we're giving them too much of this or too little of that. Well, if you'd like to find out, just go to feedxl.com. Take you a minute, put in the information about your horse, another minute to put in the information about what your horses eat. And they'll spit out some reports that analyzes what's in your feed, what's in your supplements, what's in all of those things, and it tells you you're feeding too much vitamin A, not enough vitamin C. And it'll give you solutions to the problem so that you can fix how your horse is being fed. And that's including hay and grain and supplements, the whole thing. And it's very easy to do. You go to feedxl.com. Well, today's song, I thought, you know, it's Thursday. We have that Thursday problem we talked about with everybody just being a little sluggish, waiting to get to Friday and waiting to go buy horses over the weekend. So I thought, a song with a little energy from Trish Lynn would do the trick. Stop till you drop.
What you got, boy? He's got a kettle leather pool and his eyes all red. Got his leathers and stuff tight as it don't get. He ain't found nothing that'll throw him yet. He's a little better when he's out on the air. Like a Tarantino movie running through his head. He ain't gonna sleep again until he's dead. He's gonna fly just as high as he wants to. Overload. Keep the crowd screaming everywhere that I go. Everybody's rocking when they see me rodeo. Well, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I've come a long, long way with a fat attitude. I want a hole through my soul of my cowgirl riding boots. I'm gonna fly just as high as I want to.
Jennifer H. over there in the control room running things today. And I wanted to remind everybody that this day is sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. And people are posting, as requested, their sign name or their farm names on our website at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Jeez, I can't get anything right. It's Horses in the Morning on Facebook. People are posting their farm name. And we got a bunch of them posted there now, so keep on posting. We're going to pick one lucky winner of a $100 gift certificate for EasySignsOnline.com. You can buy anything you want over there, stall nameplates or a big farm sign like Jamie got. And Jamie, your pictures over there. It's getting a lot of comments of the picture of your farm sign with the incredible Arizona sky behind it. I only think you've screwed up one thing, actually, on that picture. And
what's that?
That it, your husband's not in the F-16 flying by at the same time, at the exact moment.
Oh, my gosh. That would be a great picture. Okay. I'm going to work on
it. We could probably super Photoshop. We could put it in there.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well. I do love the fact that Michelle Graham posted her farm's name is Cripple Creek Farm. My friend Nancy had a Cripple Creek Farm, too, when she lived in Versailles. But it, Nancy's Michelle here on Facebook named it Cripple Creek because that's just they thought it was cute. My friend Nancy named it Cripple Creek Farm because they had a creek running through it and about 8 crippled horses. So they called it Cripple Creek Farm.
Well, Jennifer, do you remember why Darcy named hers Dreamer's Run?
She never told me herself, but I've got a sneaking suspicion it has to do with a horse she once owned named Dreamer.
Ah, well, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, there are some very interesting ones on here. It's going to be fun to see as people post throughout the day. By the way, you can post all day long. It's going to be fun to see the different names. I always find farm names fascinating. And when Wayne brought this up about doing this, you know, he said, you know, he's done hundreds of beautiful signs for farms around the country. And he said it always intrigues him because they have such of the most unique names. And he said in every case, people are wanting to tell the story behind their farm name. And I think that's true. I think that's something that people love to do. Well, coming up next is going to be Fran Erga with the Monthly History Almanac, talking about horses and history. We're going to have that coming up. I thought I had another story here. I do. Okay, so this one is not out of Canada, or out of England, rather. It is out of Canada. And it is a rescue story, of course. We haven't done our rescue story of the day. I need a jingle for that, Jamie. What do you think we could use as a jingle for horse rescue stories? Is there any music out there that talks about...
Is there a song called I'm a Moron and I Can't Keep My Horses in the Pasture? And I like to have them go into my swimming pool and call everybody in the world. yeah, exactly. That song.
Oh,
that's the one
Jeff,
you need. We should
Jennifer,
write it.
We should write it. Yeah. So this story was out of Canada. Usually we get them, they're out of England. Firefighters were called to a farm in Abbotsford on January 30th after the owner of a horse called for help when he found his horse stuck in a fence and near death. So this is a new one for us. The horse was stuck in a fence. Apparently, the horse had fallen down the property. Usually, they end up in a hole someplace, but this one is in a fence. And somehow, it got its head stuck in the fence and couldn't get up. I think it slipped, fell down, slid down the hill. The head got stuck, like, between rails on the fence. And the actual horse with the feet were heading uphill, so he couldn't get out. So what they had to do is they went in and they dug a channel underneath the horse's head, and they ran a long, flat strap down to the horse's shoulder area, and apparently with a whole bunch of firemen, they were able to pull the horse up the hill and out from underneath the fence. I don't know why they just didn't cut the board at the fence, but anyway, I don't know. I don't know what kind of fence it was. So the horse, we'll let you know, is recovering well, and apparently the owner said this had a happy ending. So... we've had horses get stuck many different ways. I don't know if we've ever had one get their head stuck in a fence. We did have a cow once, I got to tell you about. We owned a couple cows at that point. And we had a little shed that was in the cow field. Well, he stuck his head into the shed through the window, broke the glass through the window, and he got his head stuck in the window of the shed. Well, we didn't find him then. We found him later. When he was walking around the pasture with the entire window frame around his neck.
Are you kidding me?
No, we have a picture of it. We have a picture of that cow with the entire window. I'll have to try and dig it out. Those were the old days when we actually had pictures. So I'll have to try and dig it out and see if we can find that picture of the cow with the window frame around its neck. It was the funniest thing. The cow was not hurt, but it was the funniest thing ever to see this cow walking around with the window frame around its neck.
Oh, that is fantastic. That is just fantastic.
It was good.
I think we've got, my husband just walked in the house, Glenn, and said to me,
can you put him on, please? Can you put him on?
You want to put him
over?
You want to talk to him?
I have some words for him. Yeah, I have some words for him. Yeah.
He's shaking his head no.
Tell him it could save him thousands of dollars.
Let me come here and talk to Glenn for just a second. I'll stir your breakfast here. All right, hang on.
Glenn, how you doing?
All right, we're holding on. Hey, Chad, how you doing? I got to just give you a warning, okay? She told you that she's going, to deliver a trailer. And with some horsey friends of hers, I've been married a long time to a horsewoman. What that means is they're all going horse shopping, and your wife's going to come home with another horse. She's going to say, no, it's the other person looking for a horse. That's not true. They're all looking for a horse. That's the way it works. They're like in a pod. They become one, and they all have this urge.
You think I don't see this disease? It's pretty obvious what's going to happen here. She has good intentions. I like, she's going with her friends, having a nice weekend out of it. But it's like me saying I'm going to Vegas and not going to gamble. I know it's happening.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that you were clued in on that, being a young married couple and everything.
I appreciate the warning.
Take her credit cards, take her checkbook, just take everything before she leaves.
I do appreciate the warning and. I'm going to go ahead with your experience and I have to agree with you on this one. We'll see where it goes, but she looks happy. So, it's a start anyway. Let's see what we get out of it.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Chad. Have fun. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
So that was Chad. That's actually the husband that we talk about all the time here on Horses this Morning. And he's been officially warned now. So now if you come up with a horse, it's his fault.
It's not his fault, and I'm not coming home with a horse, okay? I'm going with friends who are looking at horses. I am acting as the agent and the coach. So I will be the one trying the horse first, making sure that it's going to be suitable for them, and that is what I'm going to do. Do you understand?
I got it. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think I got it. Yeah, we all believe that, Jamie. We really do. Well, let's try and see I'm going to try and see if we have our next guest on here. And Fran Yerger was next with her monthly almanac of horse history tidbits. And I'm going to see. Fran, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know if we had a little technical difficulty there or not. But welcome back to the show.
You can't keep me off the show.
I know. Not even blizzards can keep you off the show. I am so glad, Fran. I got to bust your chops a little bit.
I am
so glad, so thankful. Every day I wake up and I don't live in Massachusetts.
Amen. we have double digits today on the thermometer.
Oh, yippee.
Oh, yeah, you're doing good, huh?
Oh, we're celebrating and the sun is out. It's a fabulous day in Massachusetts.
How many feet of snow on the ground?
Wish you were here, Glenn.
How many feet of snow on the ground?
Yeah. It's over my head. And Jamie, your husband has a fabulous voice.
Oh, my God. Do I not have the best husband in the whole wide world? He actually, to be honest, doesn't care if I buy a horse this weekend or not. He's like, whatever. I
know. I was rather disappointed. I thought I had a rally going.
I vote for Lusitano, though.
I know. Oh, yeah, he might balk at the $125,000 I'd spend on one, though, so we're kind of out there.
Sounds like fun, though. Wow.
Yeah. But how great is he, Fran?
Fran, what kind of horses have you owned in the past? Were you any particular breed? Or
Every kind, but mainly, the kind that came to me. Normally, that would be my last horse was a Palomino. I finally, at middle age, was able to obtain the horse that I needed and wanted and should have had when I was 12. But she finally came to me. And you know, I feel that there are certain horses that you should have at certain points in your life. Well, I've had them at all the wrong times. You know, when I was younger, I had the horses that I should have. But that's okay, because that's, you know, that was how I learned, was by having the wrong horses. And I just thought that was great that my mare was a lot of people, if they know me, they would remember Goldie, or her name was Brooke. But, you know, she was just the horse I should have had as a preteen. And she was actually a great horse to have as a winding down adult rider too. So it was just really funny. But, you know, I thought it was perfect that you had Lusitanos on the show today, because today is a wonderful anniversary. Do you know that it's the anniversary of Cortez shoving off from Cuba to go to Mexico? And it's been almost 500 years, you know, this whole idea of horses returning to North America. Today's kind of, you know, the day it all started happening. And, you know,
was Cortez, the one that brought the horses to Mexico?
Yeah. And, you know, I love the whole story of it, you know, the grisly warfare, and then these horses, you know, being perceived as, you know, the horsemen were centaurs and everything. And you know, when Cortez got to Mexico City, you know, at first he was, you know, welcomed as a god, and they made beds of rose petals for the horses to lie in. I thought that was such a beautiful, beautiful image. And of course, you know, it all went downhill from there, and we know what happened. But I just thought, today of all days for me to be on the show, it's such an ominous, wonderful day. I think that this should be some kind of a, you know, some kind of a holiday, and, you know, for American horse people, the return of horses to North America. It's a wonderful thing.
Wow.
And the fact that you had Lusitanos on the show, you know, sort of the Iberian horse, it was just, you know, the whole thing, it just fit together really nicely.
That's cool. You know, and they always greet you as a hero before they kill you. That
right.
has to be the thing when you're, yeah.
Well, no, it was kind of, you know, the other way around. He would have remained a hero if they hadn't sort of pillaged and plundered and made Montezuma, you know, angry and everything. That whole story is really pretty sad, really very sad. But I was surprised to learn that, you know, way back then, the outposts that existed in Cuba and Jamaica, they were already breeding horses like crazy in North America. Horse breeding was just absolutely positively one of the first industries in the New World. And, you know, Cortez had two more shipments of horses brought in, you know, like in the first 6 months that he was in Mexico. He had to have, you know, two more shipments of horses. So it just shows you, you know, that maybe we need to have more about these horses, you know, plugged into the history that we're taught in school, because I was never taught anything other than, you know, sort of, oh yeah, the Indians were afraid of horses or something. But there's a much bigger story to it. And I was fascinated during the sort of, you know, what day is today in history? And I said, oh yeah, everybody knows about that. But then I thought, well, maybe there's more to that story. And there's a fantastic book by Dr. Deb Bennett. I think a lot of people know her. She writes for Equus. It's called Conquerors, The Roots of New World Horsemanship. And it's all about the Iberian horse in sort of, you know, American history. It's I highly recommend it if anyone wants to really learn about horses and these roots in American history. Check it out. Because I love these Spanish horses.
I'm reading your notes here, and I noticed one of the things coming up is a happy birthday to somebody, and I just want to know, do you know her personally so we can get her on the show?
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, you haven't had her on the show?
No, we haven't had her on the show yet.
Can we say who we're talking
about? You can arrange that, Fran. No, I guess we should tell everybody, huh?
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to wish a happy birthday to Cheryl Crow. And I think she's definitely one of my favorite singers. But, you know, her role in the horse business has been pretty wonderful. And, you know, I wondered, I think a lot of people know that her horse farm in Tennessee has been for sale. Does anyone know? I mean, she put it online. She put it for sale online. And, you know, I certainly asked Santa Claus for it. I didn't get it. But does anyone know that, you know, maybe one of your readers knows, you know, if the farm has been sold and if some lucky horse person is going to get that beautiful, beautiful farm? I was
like
intrigued.
$6-7 million
$7 million I was waiting for them to announce an essay contest. You know, win Sheryl Crow's farm in Tennessee. Write the best essay. I would have been right there.
Essay
rippling
contest.
Away.
That's good.
But she's been very inspiring. Her work with the wild horses and everything. Really putting her face on that campaign was. I think that was a really wonderful thing that she did, and you know, I'd just like to salute her on the air, and I think she should be on the show. I think that would be great.
Okay, well, take a listen.
That.
Apparently, that's how she felt about the farm.
excuse me, I just want to make a mention that that is the only way you're going to get Sheryl Crow on our show is just to play clips of her music. That's the only way you're going to get her, Glenn, so just enjoy. I don't know.
We actually know somebody that knows her, so there's a chance, Jamie, there's a chance.
Absolutely, and yeah. if she's working on a cause, I believe she would come on the show. I'm sure she would. If there's something going on, I don't underestimate the show, Jamie. I believe.
You know who Jamie's waiting for somebody in particular. She really wants Garth Brooks on the show, but I think our chance of that is probably a lot less than Sheryl Crow.
Well, I am going to find Garth in Vegas, and I will get him on our show. If I have to stalk him for months, I will find him.
Can I be on that
great.
Day?
Great.
Yeah, right?
Sign me up. Make that an almanac day, would you please?
So what else you got for him?
Well, the other thing that I wanted to mention, it's a fascinating day. It was actually yesterday was the anniversary of one of the most mysterious, unsolved, horrible stories of anything to do with horses, and that was the kidnapping in Ireland on February 9th in 1983, when some masked gunmen went into the beautiful stud farm of the Aga Khan and knocked on the door of the groom and sort of kidnapped him and made him go to the stable. And they took the most valuable racehorse in the world at the time. I had just been retired to stud. It was his beginning second year at stud. His name was Shergar. And he belonged to the Aga Khan, one of the most wealthy people in the world. And they kidnapped him and demanded $2 million in ransom. Well, the mystery was never solved. The horse was never found. The ransom was never paid because the horse was syndicated. He had something like 30 different owners, and they never found the horse. They don't know what happened to him. They let the groom go, and it's one of the great unsolved mysteries. I've often wondered why a fabulous movie wasn't made of that story, but it's just remained kind of an unsolved, unfinished, funny taste in your mouth of where, it would be like someone kidnapping, heaven forbid I even say this, but someone kidnapping someone like, Secretariat of Zenyatta in the United States.
It was even bigger because they really went, they like searched every farm in the country. They went through every stable, every outhouse. They were turning that country over to find that horse. It was the police just went crazy trying to find the horse. And it was a horse is this?
That's a big, big story.
Which horse are you guys talking about? I missed the name.
Shergar.
Shergar.
His name was Shergar.
S-H-E-G-A-R. Yep, Shergar.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and it was a big deal back then.
He had been
Horse
of the Year in 1981. But, you know, what I thought was really clever, and I don't think it was a coincidence. I think the people who kidnapped him knew exactly what they were doing. They kidnapped him, you know, let's say, I don't know, it was, say, midnight or 1 in the morning or whatever. Well, the next day when the police started their search was the day of the biggest horse sale in Ireland. So everywhere they went on the highways, there were horse vans and horse trailers. And, I mean, it was just impossible. You know, the police were just inundated with, you know, they would have, you know, had to stop all these different vans and things, and it was just very confusing for them, where on a normal day there wouldn't have been that many horses out on the road. Can you imagine how clever was that, you know, to think of that?
Yeah.
That the, you know, the roads would have been filled with horse vans, and, you know, there would have been so many horses in transit, and, of course, you know, another dark bay thoroughbred, they all, you know, all look, you know, I don't want to say they all look alike, but, you know, if you're a policeman and you don't really, you know, you just have this snapshot of a horse, how frustrating must that have been? And I, you know,
all right.
I went to Ireland to that farm, and I saw the stall, and I just remember standing there saying, oh, where are you, Shergar?
Well, that's Shergar, and you can actually, if you Google Shergar, you're going to find lots of stories on Shergar. Okay, so now before you come back, Fran, we have to run here. We're running out of time. But,
oh, no.
Before you give Cheryl Crow a call and make sure you bring her back with you on the next show.
I'll tell her, Glenn.
And we also mentioned that you have a new website coming. You can, of course, find all of your information on Hoof Care and Lameness at hoofblog.com, and the Jurger Report is coming with a new website today. So where can they find that?
Well, you'll be able to find it, as always, through equisearch.com. But for everyone who has the Jurger Report bookmarked, we're going to need to get a new bookmark probably after sometime today or maybe tomorrow. Things are moving around, and unfortunately, I don't have the exact address right now, but we should have it, you know, later today, and there will be a new layout, and we have a software change, and hopefully everybody will still be able to find me, and we have lots of wonderful news coming, both about hooves and about horse health on both of those blogs.
All right, that they can find easily by going to equisearch.com.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Fran. We'll talk
Thank
again
you
next
so
month.
Much. Okay.
Bye, Fran.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye, Jamie.
Bye, Fran.
All right. So we want to get one more reminder out there about the contest. It's going to go on all day for $100 of signage from EasySignOnline.com. And I noticed a lot of people posting. So there
That's
are a bunch
awesome.
Of posts going up. Yeah. I was just looking at some of them. Whispering Winds Arabian. And Dream Catcher Boarding and Training, some of them, Bent Tree Farm. Let me see if they got that name how you'd think it would be. The farm owner's mother put a walnut tree many years ago on the property. A few years ago, a band storm. What's a band storm? Oh, I think they meant sandstorm. Caused the tree to fall. The tree still lives, even in bent position. It looks like it should be dead, but it's still going strong, and we get walnuts from it. Well, don't put the horses out with the wolves. That's not good. But that was from Cricket with Bent Tree Farm. We have Black Dog Farm. And, yes, it got its name because they have black dogs. Cripple Creek, all kinds of different farms here. So definitely post yours. Yeah, that's great. What else? I think that's about it for today, right? Did we miss anything?
I don't think we missed anything. However, we did not mention Zenyatta's name once on the show today, so I would like to say it, Zenyatta. Complete, Glenn.
Now, it's interesting, though, because I posted the picture of Boomer with a beer bottle earlier, your one puppy. Well, the other puppy, of course, named is Zenyatta, and Tamiko posted on below the picture, Zenyatta driving him to drink already?
I know. So. That is so funny, Jamiko. That is so funny. You got to see this picture of Boomer. He literally has a, like, he has jumped into Chad's lap and has wrapped his little paws around the beer bottle and is, like, putting his nose up to the top. Of course, we didn't let him drink any, people, but he tried really hard to get it, and it's just a great timed photograph, and the comment, Sunyata's driving him to drink already, is just perfect. I love it. And Katie Murphy, but, man, that's 10 know, times two.
Really, it's backwards, because your puppy Zenyatta should be the one drinking a lager every day, if you think about it.
She should be drinking. She doesn't. This is a light beer, Glenn. She only drinks Guinness. Okay, so come on.
All right, great. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it. We have another big show planned for you tomorrow and Monday. Tomorrow we have one of the ladies, a friend of that I think can let you know, who adopted two of the horses from the Facebook thing that went around last week. So we're going to talk to her about that. We also have Stuart Pittman, who is retraining racehorses. He has a program up there in Pennsylvania. You're going to like, he's a fascinating guy. And then we have our weekly Chronicle report, of course, on Friday. And then Monday is a very special day, Valentine's Day. Love music.
Yay.
Three couples talking about what it's like on Valentine's Day. We have the old couple, that'd be Jennifer and I, been married for forever, 20-some years. We have Jamie and Chad, who apparently we have to do more talking with him because he's still in his I love you honeymoon phase over there with Jamie letting buy horses at every turn. So we're going to have to fix some of that problem. And then we have, tell us about the other couple we have.
Well, if you guys remember, we had Roger on the show a little bit ago to talk about, he wrote a newsletter for the, I think it was Area 1 newsletter, in eventing about dating an eventer. And so Roger and his girlfriend, who is the eventer, are going to come on the show and be a part of it, and kind of, they're dating. They're not engaged. They spend an awful lot of time together, and I'm thinking Roger is just stalling. so the pressure to propose is going to be on, because I'm not going to let it go. So they're going to be on with us on Monday as well. So it'll be a great show. Katie Murphy and Roger, on the air with us, and kind of a newly dating couple.
And we hope to have some horsey sort of love music, a combination of horsey and love music. Play a couple songs that morning, and I think it just should be a fun sort of romantic time. Jamie will come back and tell us all about the horse she bought, and Chad will tell us all about how much the horse cost. So that's it. For today. You can find all of the recorded versions of our show at horsesinthemorning.com or at any of our affiliates. And you can also follow us on Twitter. We are at Horse Radio. And, of course, don't forget, you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We have a fun show coming up today for the Tack and Habit that we recorded at Ada with Jamie there and Helena. And the name of this show is Gun-Totin' Mule Mamas. Gun-Totin' Mule Mamas. You're going to want to take a listen to that one. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day. Wear your helmet.